Advent, we're looking at various open doors that came to the characters of the Nativity. We saw last week that both Mary and Zechariah were faced with the open door of belief and how each one reacted to that. And this week we're going to be looking at the character of Joseph. He was presented with the open door of obedience. Would he take Mary as his wife even though she was pregnant? Would he trust what the angel said? Would he flee to Egypt when the angel told him his family was in danger? Joseph was faced with many different doors of obedience. The challenge today for us is remember to go through the open door of obedience. Remember to go through the open door of obedience. We're going to have Judy Nichols read the passage this morning, which is Matthew 1, 18 through 25. And 2:13 through 15. So, Judy, if you'd come and read that for us.
Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, excuse me, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Now when they, that is the Magi, had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, Out of Egypt I called my son.
Thank you, Judy. As we journey through the story of Joseph and through this challenge to remember to go through the open door of obedience, we see that he was called to obey in three ways. When it didn't make sense, when it hurt his reputation, secondly, and lastly, when it was inconvenient. So let's explore what it meant for him and what it means for you and I today. So number one, remember to go through the open door of obedience even when it doesn't make sense. If you look with me at verse 19, we see of chapter 1 of Matthew, we see here, it says in verse 19, and her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. The first challenge Joseph faced was that of obedience that doesn't make sense. Mary told him she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit. That's not something you hear every day, right? Everything is in his experience would have led him to believe this is not true. Who gets pregnant except by the natural way? Why should he believe her? And regarding obedience when it doesn't make sense, I found this quote by Charles Spurgeon. I thought it was very apropos. He says this, It is my first public declaration that a thing which looks to be unreasonable and seems to me unprofitable being commanded by God is law to me. If my master had told me to pick up 6 stones and lay them in a row, I would do it without demanding of him, what good will it do? It is no fit question for a soldier of Jesus. The very simplicity and apparent uselessness of the ordinance should make the believer say, therefore I do it because it becomes the better test to me of my obedience to my master. When you tell your servant to do something and he cannot comprehend it, if he turns around and says, "Please, sir, what for?" you are quite clear that he hardly understands the relation between master and servant. So when God tells me to do a thing, if I say, "What for?" I cannot have taken the place which faith ought to occupy, which is that of simple obedience to whatever the Lord hath said. And I thought of that. You know, how often do I question God when he asks me to do something? Now, there's a side where it's good to know why we do what we do. But any of us that has been a parent, or maybe you've been in charge of a class or whatever, if every time you ask your kids or those that are under you to do something and they need a reason, sometimes things are urgent and you don't have time to give a reason. Think of one story I thought of is, you know, if my child is going to walk in the street and I say, "Turn around," I don't have time to explain to them, "Oh, there's a truck coming and it's going to hit you, and if you don't turn around," you know, I want them to obey right away. All right? So not only are we called to be open when it doesn't make sense. Secondly, remember to go through the open door of obedience when it hurts your reputation. Verses 24 and 25, let's look at those. When Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son. And he called his name Jesus. Imagine with me, it said earlier that Joseph was a righteous man. So he was known as a good guy. He was known as, he had a reputation for being righteous. So now him taking Mary, who was pregnant before they were married, people are going to come to one of two conclusions. Either he did not wait, or someone else was in the picture. Both of those tainted and hurt his reputation as a righteous man. And he had to give that up to be obedient to God. Now, I'm not saying we give up our reputation to do sin or other things, but often when God calls us to follow him in obedience, he has said the world will hate you. You will be misunderstood. You will not always be the popular one in obeying what I've asked you to do. So Joseph had to answer this question. Would he choose to follow and obey God or seek to preserve his reputation? Following God in obedience will bring about a dying to self in every one of its followers. We saw in that video at the beginning, we may have to die to our ambitions, to maybe a hobby or other things. There's ways God calls us to die. And Joseph had a choice here. Am I going to die to my plans, my reputation, what I had thought everything was going to be, or am I going to follow what the angel tells me to do? There's an illustration I saw. John Wooden, the former coach of the UCLA Bruins basketball team, once said to his team this: "Be more concerned with your character than with your reputation. Your character is what you really are, while your reputation is merely what others think you are." I thought that was a good thing for us to consider. People don't always understand why we do what we do. Obedience to what God calls us to may involve others thinking we're foolish. I remember when my wife and I felt called to go overseas to Central Asia to be missionaries. Many times I actually heard from those in that country, "Why would you come here? There's so many opportunities in America. I want to go to America. Why are you leaving there to come here?" I got that question over and over and over again. And I finally worked up a short little like TV statement about the man who finds a treasure in a field and sells everything he has to go get that. And I talked about how following Christ is more important than all the riches, you know, you could have in America. But I remember also on this side, I had relatives that would say to me particularly as a man, "How could you put your family in danger? How could you knowingly go to a place where there's danger?" And they thought I was foolish or a bad father. So often, and you may not be called to go to Central Asia, but when you follow God's call, as Joseph did, to be obedient, it will involve others at times misunderstanding us in that obedience. Following God in obedience to what he calls you will involve possibly your reputation, what others think of you being sullied. So thirdly, not only has God called us to obey even when it doesn't make sense and even when it hurts our reputation with others, thirdly, God has called us to remember to go through the door of obedience even when it's inconvenient. Inconvenient. Look at chapter 2, 13 through 15. Joseph has this dream in the middle of the night. Basically, get all your family and leave, like right now. It wasn't convenient to go to a different country. I don't know if any of you here have been in a situation of being a refugee. A few months back, I had opportunity to go up to Cleveland, and there was a ministry up there that works with refugees. There's many Syrian refugees and Nepali refugees and Congolese refugees in Cleveland. It has a lot of refugees. And this center helps teach them English and help them get on their feet. Because after they get here, often they only have 6 months of state aid, and then they got to get a job and figure stuff out. And often, I don't know if you've seen the movie The Good Lie. It's an interesting movie about refugees, but it shows these guys from Sudan that had to like hike across country. Their whole village was wiped out, and then they suddenly are over here, and they don't even know what a phone is. They're suddenly in this place, and they're having to go do all these things, and they're going through all this cross-cultural adjustment. So God called Joseph to be a refugee, to go in the middle of night to Egypt. I imagine they were not able to take stuff. What am I going to do for work? I don't know. I'm a carpenter, but my whole clientele's back there in Nazareth. He's facing a lot of things. It was inconvenient to be obedient. He had to leave behind family, security, many things. So when the angel told Joseph to leave, he had to do so quickly and immediately. Often immediate obedience is tough, isn't it? I've seen this as a father. Clean your room. I'll get to it. When I asked you to do this, how many times? Right? We've all been there. And I found this funny story. This one pastor, Pastor Warren Lamb, writes this. He said, I used to have problems getting my son to clean his room. I would insist that he do it now. And he would always agree to do so, but he wouldn't follow through, at least not right away. After high school, he joined the Marine Corps, which is where he is now. When he and I were on a plane together coming home for his leave after boot camp, he said to me, my life makes sense now, Dad. Everything you said and did when I was growing up now makes sense. I really, really understand. And they said, oh yeah, Dad, I learned what now means. So obedience is rarely convenient, and when God calls us to do it, often we want to wait, we want to drag our feet because it's inconvenient. So as we looked at today at the open door of obedience that Joseph went through, we see that it's tied to action, is it not? It's not just words, it's action. The next 2 weeks we're going to be looking at the shepherds and then the wise men and how they responded to the open doors to them. And we see from this message that obedience precedes true worship. We've been talking here at Grace Fellowship, our mission statement is a people, what? For God, who will go into the world and make disciples. And the four core values are grace, relationship, service, and discipleship. And we have covered each of those. And this year we're focusing on the value of service, both to God and to others. And we talked about evangelism, and now we're talking about open doors. And as you think about the open door of service, one of the first steps towards that door is obedience, right? Service involves understanding who's the master and who's the servant. Who's the father and who's the child. And God has called us his what? Children. If we have asked Jesus to be our Lord and Savior, we are God's children. And so that going through that open door of obedience is important. It's not, sometimes we can think, I hope you don't leave this message today thinking, I got to try harder. Because that would not be the hope. The hope would be that we've seen Jesus be obedient. We heard this morning about in the garden and that sort of thing. Jesus said, not my will, but yours be done. He struggled. in the garden. He set the model for obedience. And because of his obedience, we have access to God. And so in light of that, our salvation comes through Christ's obedience. And that is going to well up in us to say, I want to obey. Jesus said, if you love me, you will what? You will obey my commandments. So I hope you don't leave thinking this is an onerous thing or this is a duty or a burden, but rather it is a joy to obey him. It's an open door. And when we choose to obey, it opens doors to worlds we could not imagine. And when we choose to disobey, our world gets smaller and smaller and smaller. Think of that example of the person in prison. Might have started with disobedience to parents, who knows what, but as they chose to disobey on increasing levels, eventually the world gets down to a cell. And that's as far as it gets. So as we go through the open doors of obedience, our world gets actually bigger. So the idea that obedience comes before worship, because we're going to look at the shepherds worshiping and the wise men worshiping. I'd like us to just watch this final video. I really think it hits at this heart of obedience being one of those first steps. And let's watch this together. If someone could get the lights in the back.